Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What a week in DC sports. Washington football team's got players on the field in Ashburn. First time since January. Wizards getting ready for the first of their final two games of the regular season tonight. And then they will be playing in the play-in tournament, it looks like. If not, getting all the way through to the postseason. And the Caps tomorrow night, game one against the Boston Bruins to start their, ideally, lengthy cup run.
Be fun if they won a bunch of games and like some series and stuff. I'd enjoy that.
All that right now, Danny, in the Beltway Blitz. We'll kick things off on the ice. Who better to talk Caps with than Mike Vogel? You see his work on the Caps site. Mike, why don't we just start with the matchup? Boston red hot coming into the playoffs. Caps are banged up. How should we feel about this showdown?
Well, I think, I think you're right. The Boston's as healthy as it's been all season for most of the eight games that Washington ran into the Bruins. Boston was the more banged up of the two teams. But, you know, I think there's a lot of similarities here, Grant. I think both teams have fought through a fair amount of adversity, and both teams have found that they've got, you know, pretty good depth in their organization. And they got through some rough patches of the season with some players stepping up and assuming larger roles and greater responsibilities. It's obviously a bigger stage now, and you can maybe say that the quality of some of the players that Washington is missing, is a little more significant than at certain patches of the season. And also, you're not going to run into New Jersey or Buffalo at this juncture of the year either. So, yeah, I think it, being without TJ Oshie, Evgeny Kuznetsov, those are two top six forwards. So, you can count on a guy like Lars Eller to step up. Can you count on a guy like Connor Sherry to step up? Yeah, quite possibly. He's won a couple of Stanley Cups. Daniel Sprong getting a first look at playoff hockey. Anthony Mantha getting a first look at Stanley Cup playoff hockey. There's going to be some unknowns and some variables on either side. But, when I look at these two teams, there's not a whole lot of difference in them. I think there's a lot of similarities. You could give the Bruins the nod, obviously, in the area of goaltending, but I think you give the Caps the nod for having a much more experienced and seasoned blue line than Boston does. But, you know, beyond that, there are a lot of similarities, and I think it's just going to come down to a battle of wills. And I honestly think that's what the East Division is going to come down to. You've got four coaches in this division who've been to the Cup Final within the last 5 years. You've got 6 points separating these four teams after 56 games. I think both of these series should be long, and I think that whoever gets out of this division will have earned their way to the Final Four.
Vogues, you mentioned Kuznetsov. What's the latest? What do we know? Will we see him in the series?
We don't know anything. You know, he's on the COVID list. That's what we know. We don't know how long he's going to be on there. We don't know whether we'll see him in this series or when we'll see him. I think with the COVID list, coaches, management, staffs are learning that they've got to be tight-lipped about what's going on, because you're talking about a player's health, you know, whatever his personal medical status condition. So we're not told anything as far as you know, what his status is or why he's on that list, and it's just a guessing game, and that's the way it's been since January with every guy who's wound up on that list. And you know, maybe when they come off and you get a chance to talk to them, they're a little more forthcoming about what happened, what they went through, whether they had full blown COVID or whatever. But typically, it's a pretty hush hush thing, and your guess is as good as mine. And you know, I think it's just like any other injury. The guy's not there until he is again, and the focus has to be on what you do have in the cupboard and the guys you do have available to play, and you just kind of put the injured player or players kind of out of your mind until they're actually ready to come back and step into your lineup.
Love these storylines, though, Vogues. You got Wilson, Carlo, and Z versus the Bruins. Should be a lot of fun. We'll be tracking it all through you throughout the series. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, folks.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Be well. Mike Vogel of the Caps on our Beltway Blitz. Let's pivot to their roommates. Dave Johnson. You hear him on Wizards Radio. You see him all over town. One of the hardest workers in the business. Dave, this has wound down to being a pretty exciting season. Two games to go for the Wizards. Eight seed is still a possibility. Cavs tonight, Hornets on Sunday. Set the table for us for what's at stake.
Well, what's at stake is, and I don't know if you guys agree or not, but I don't believe I've ever seen a change in perception and feeling about a team, a complete 180, in this short a period of time. If you think about it, that loss when they lost to Toronto at the buzzer, people were calling, they wanted to fire me as radio broadcaster. It was just a bad feeling about this team. And then suddenly the team catches fire, or let me put it another way. The team started to finally, you know, play what they were capable of doing. I think we're seeing a team that this is what they are capable of. They got up to Russell Westbrook speed, if you will. And then people realize, you know what? We're about to see a record that's stood for 47 years be broken. And it became a tremendous feel-good story because, you know, in some ways I liken it to the Cal Ripken streak. I don't think that'll ever be broken. I don't think wherever Russell Westbrook ends up will ever be broken, because I think we could all appreciate it. You know what? He shows up for work every day and just tries to do his job to the best of his ability. So it's that simple. So getting this team in a position where they're in a play-in and a chance in a postseason from where they were would be classic Russell Westbrook. He just keeps showing up to see what happens next. And right now what happens next for the Washington Wizards could be pretty special.
Dave, with Beal, it's the third guy. Without Beal, these next couple of games, and maybe who knows what it holds in the postseason, it's going to be the second guy. But who's got to step up to be Westbrook's running mate here if they're going to end up making some noise in this postseason?
Well, and there's no question. Anytime somebody mentions hamstring, that does concern me.
Right.
And I don't think it's one. It's not one player. And there's it's going to have to be the collective. Russell Westbrook is going to. You know, I think about the one win they had with Bradley Beal out of the lineup. You know, Westbrook had 35 points, 21 assists, and 14 rebounds or something like that. I was about to say we can't expect him to do that every night, but you know what? We sort of do expect him to do that every night. But for goodness sakes, he is kind of doing that every night, but that's not realistic. It's going to have to be a collective. Is Westbrook finding Daniel Gafford on the break an answer one night? Rui Hachimura, look, this is a spotlight. He's become more aggressive. He needs to be more dominant on offense. So when you're taking 30 points out of the lineup, it's not going to be one player, and it's not going to be one type of shot either. Do they have the firepower to do it? Yes, as we've seen in these games, they've been very competitive down to the last possession. It's ridiculous, the last five games. But the bottom line is you still have to win these games, and especially come playoff time. So the Bradley Beal injury is a concern, a big concern.
Dave, it's kind of separate that you get to call the Wizards in the play-in round, if you would, just as a basketball fan. What's your take on the play-in tournament? you know, 7-8, 9-10, the format as it is. Has it grown on you? Do you like it?
My take is this. How often in all sports for years have we said too many teams make the playoffs? Well, in reality, what this is saying is, the same number of teams make the playoffs, but it just became harder. Because just finishing 7th or 8th guarantees you nothing. That's that. Congratulations. You now have to earn it even more to finish in the top 6. So my belief is it actually incentivizes teams to play even harder, play better, because you want to finish in one of the top 6. Whereas how often for years you'd be in 11th place and say, well, if we can just get to 8, we're in the playoffs. That doesn't do it anymore. And again, if the Wizards, and I believe tonight will be the night that they clinch a spot in the playoff, that is just one step. You still didn't make the postseason, but at least you put yourself in a position to be part of the conversation. So my take is that, you know, don't look at it like you're inviting more people to the party. Look at it as you're trying to restrict the best people to come to the party.
Dave, among the play-in teams right now, Indiana, Charlotte, and Boston, who do the Wizards match up the best against, and who do they match up the worst against?
That's a good question, because Boston, is changed with injury. And so this is not the Boston Celtics team the Wizards, you know, faced a few months ago. And of course, the Wizards are not the same as they were before. I think if you want pure entertainment value, let's get another game of the Pacers, because the score will probably be 170 to 160 because both teams want to play up and down and get after it. So, I would like, based on the seeing games against the Pacers and the success the Wizards have had, you know, I think that would be an entertaining and intriguing matchup.
Dave Johnson, we will be listening to you on the call. 2 regular season games and then hopefully a bunch of playoff games. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Always appreciate it. And listen, appreciate Russell Westbrook. Again, appreciate Russell Westbrook. Truly special. You got to tune in every night because you just don't know.
Yeah, it's been amazing. It really has. Thanks, Dave. Be well. That is your Wizards section of the Blitz. Let's talk some football. We'll also get some thoughts on the Preakness, because Rick Snyder knows a thing or two about the horses. But first, the Washington football team with our pal Snyder Marks. You can read him at thefandc.com. Rick, you were out in Ashburn today, so why don't we start with, I guess first and foremost, the Washington football team. I mean, they are working rookies out on the field. What did we learn? Rick, you there?
Rick?
Put him on hold and see if we can
Rick
get him back in just a second.
Hmm.
Maybe he wanted to start with horses. I don't know.
You can't go out of order with Rick Snyder.
No,
he won't let you do it.
He was all in on talking horses. Rick, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, buddy. All right, so let's just start. You were out there today. How did it work? What was the lay of the land?
Well, 16 rookies. It was about an hour session, half of it stretching, it seemed. So there really a lot of one-on-one drills, mostly. And you got just a taste of what guys could do watching them run, just getting an athletic sense. I saw Jamin Davis make like a switch in a move and a drill, and I was like, wow, look at that. Just the athleticism of cross-body movement. I was really impressed with that one. Nobody hit anybody, you know, that kind of thing. There's only one running back. There was a quarterback that pulled in to do nothing, you know, to help out because he didn't have anybody. So, you know, it's the quietest of days, but it's a first step for everybody. And I liked a few guys that I saw. I liked Cosme. I liked his attitude and how he did things. And I watched even something as simple on a drill. Jarrett Patterson kept his feet in bounds on this drill that he didn't have to. And you think first day of rookie, who cares? And that shows me some real dedication to your craft. So I saw a lot of hard work in a short setting.
Rick, aside from Jamin Davis, we did this earlier on the show. I want to see what your opinion is. Who among these rookies could be undrafted guys, could be mid-round picks, could be the long snapper, whoever it is. Who do you think makes the biggest impact earliest in the season besides Jamin Davis among these rookies?
Oh, I don't know that anybody does per se, you know, because they all have limited roles. And I don't know that Cosme will start. You know, that's a question there on there. I did like John Bates, just watching him in drills and such. This guy's a baller. He's going to be interesting, but he's not going to catch a lot of balls, but he's going to make a lot of blocks. So I think he's going to be interesting.
Real quick, before we talk horses, did you notice Samus Reyes at all?
Yes, I did. And I thought he looked very good today, too.
Exciting. We want that guy
That's
to do
That's what we
well.
Want.
He's a great story. All right, let's talk Preakness. What do I need to know? If I want to bet on horse racing, what's the best way for me to make money? Just take a long shot? Should I try to bet on the top three finishers? How would I normally do it?
Well, to double your money at the track, you fold it in half and put it back in your pocket. But that's an old racing joke. Okay, so you bet the winners. You know, for whatever they pay, winners are winners. You know, but I do like Midnight Bourbon over Medina Spirit. I think it will be a great stretch run, and I think this time Midnight Bourbon catches them. But Medina has never had a horse pass him in the stretch in six career races. This kid is a gritty horse. So he's going to be on the lead the whole way around. I just think Midnight Bourbon can catch him here. And if you want to do a little value, I do like a 15-1 shot on Bridle to Honor. I'd put him in your triples.
Now, the Medina Spirit win came under question, and there was a lot of controversy. I don't know if there was like a steroid test that went wrong.
Do you think the Riders will put him in the Hall of Fame?
You can tell me exactly what happened there. But is there going to be like extra scrutiny? Or is there a chance that, you know, they're going to do a test before the race and he's not going to be able to run? Like, how's this going to work?
Yeah, they did three tests this week. The first one we've already heard of came back as a negative. It was basically a cortisone cream that they put on a skin condition, and it didn't clear a system in time, is what it ended up all of this being. It wasn't something to mask the ankles or all those kind of things performing in
dancing. So he wasn't like PEDing it up to hit bombs.
The cream and the clear, man. We've done this before.
There you go. Yeah. So, you know, it's the same thing like, you know, football players taking supplements and then suddenly find out there's an ingredient in one of them they thought was cleared and they tested positive. You know, it's the same kind of thing. So, you know, he's going to be fine. I think he's a nice horse. I just have a feeling he's not going to quite fire everything this time. You know, the Derby takes a lot out of you. This one's going to be a hard run race from the very beginning because there's several other speed horses in there. But usually best horses win the Preakness over the years. And this will be the last year the Preakness is where it is because they're going to knock down Pimlico and build a nice new place. They're going to change the finish line, I guess, and move the track around. So you're seeing the end of the history here in some respects. But it'd be a great race. You know, I think it only takes 2 minutes. So while you're on commercial from another game, you can watch the Preakness.
Do people, by and large, like or not like that Bob Baffert dude?
Well, I mean, he has his detractors, but mostly they're just jealous people. I think most people like Bob. He's a good guy. I mean, I've known Bob 25 years. And, you know, the only people I've ever seen critical of him are just jealous people. Wayne Lucas backed Baffert. And I can tell you, Wayne Lucas, who's now 80, so he's been in the game a lot longer, really didn't like Baffert early. Thought he was this brash kid. But that's what everybody thought of Lucas, too, when he came in the game. So when Lucas is now backing Baffert, that tells me a lot.
Rick, great information. I don't know anything about Wayne Lucas, but I know that you know horse racing. I can tell you that much. Thank
well,
you.
D-Wayne has a lot of wins, too. So, it will be fun. It'll be a great race. Tune in.
Well, we're looking forward to it. See you, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. See you.
Snyder Marks on Twitter and thefandc.com for his work. I like that he said, he's a nice horse. Did you hear that? He goes, he's a nice horse. And I know what he meant. He's like breaking down analytically his chances to win. But I just pictured like Rick Snyder
petting
the horse. Being with, what a friendly horse.
Very amiable.
Just getting a bad rap. This guy's so nice. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Matt Moore on the Wizards at 4:40. 5 and 5, about 40 minutes out on D&D. Grant and Danny, welcome back. 5 at 5, brought to you by Wave Sodas, a half hour out. So we just had Rick Snyder on the Beltway Blitz a few minutes ago, and we were talking about the horse, Medina Spirit, and he thinks the horse is really nice.
Very nice.
I just thought that was a great quote. No one seems to care. I thought it was hilarious. He goes, and I know that horse. It's a nice horse. But anyway, Ryan comes in here right after the segment, bobbing and weaving. And he says a word really, really interestingly in a way that I've never heard it said before. So I said to Danny, I said, hey, you just got back from the bathroom. You weren't in here. I said, you got to ask Ryan to say the word steroids. And you're like, why? And I'm like, just do it. He says it really funny. You're like, okay, so you call him in here and you spend no fewer than 4 minutes.
Just trying to get him to say the word without spoiling it and contaminating it by saying the word myself.
Danny's giving him so many context clues. You're like, yeah, if a baseball player, you know, they take a performance-enhancing drug, they get like an injection, it's something with an S, S-T, I just can't think, and Ryan's like, oh, you mean like Wenstrol? And you're like, no, not specifically.
He's like, it's PEDs. I'm like, nah, not HGH, what's the other one? He's like, I don't know.
It's like roids, it's a ST though.
I can't remember the word. So I remembered it fine.
Minutes go by and he's just
he just wouldn't say steroids.
You're talking about like Rafael Palmeiro, and you're like, he did it the one time, yeah. And he's like, oh, A-Rod. You're like, but what's the word? What did he get in trouble for? He's like, I think it was performance enhancers.
Yeah.
So we're going round and around. But finally, you said the word.
Yes.
And then he thinks that the way he says it, he thinks I'm saying he has a Baltimore accent, which is not the case.
I don't know what this accent is.
This is just a word that you say weird.
This is Bruce Allen Langley accent.
So
here,
I want you to say the word steroids for us.
Steroids.
Steering a car with oids. Steer.
So a player gets popped. And they've been suspended 81 games for what?
For steroids.
You understand that how you're saying it is funny.
I do hear it. And okay. It's just,
say it how we say it.
Steroids.
Yeah, close.
It's not a drink that you're stirring here.
He's stirring it. He said steroids. Say it how Danny says it, or how I would say it.
Danny, can you say it again for me one more time?
You mean the word steroids?
Yeah, steroids.
Steroids.
Hey, that was clean off the bat.
It's something you like. You step down one at a time so as to not fall if you're like an old person. Because if you fall down, then it could do damage.
Wait, repeat. I thought you were trying to get me to say steroids.
This is what the commercial break was, by the way.
Steroids again.
If you're walking down one at a time.
You can go up them.
You can go up them or down them. Down you're walking them. Up or down.
The stairs.
Right. Very good. So they're not steers.
They aren't steers. No.
They're not stars or stirs.
Well, that's good. Then if I wanted to get you to hit some more home runs or just get a little bigger while you're lifting weights, I would give you a shot right in the arm. That would be what?
Steroids.
Attaboy.
I can't say it any other way. I don't know. It just comes off the mouth as steroids. It sounds better than steroids or whatever the hell.
Well, regardless of your preference of how it sounds, right. One's the word.
Any other words? Yeah. That you just decide.
The other is steroids.
Better. It is true. I know, but it just sounds better as steroids.
Like, have you ever thought about that? You say it really funny.
Honestly, like, I think at one point in my life, I just thought that's how you'd say it, and so then that's how I got in the routine of saying steroids, and so now it's steroids.
All right.
Which is interesting because it's a pretty common word. I mean, I have a couple things that I've botched forever. And then I get an embarrassing moment as an adult that you didn't know. That's like, I can't think of a good one. But like, no, that's actually Cabernet. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So yeah. I've never drank the stupid stuff. But that's a pretty commonplace word. And we work in sports. It comes up.
As well. I just love that I said, when we called him out, when you like said, yeah, you say steroids funny. He's like, is it my Baltimore accent? We're like, nope, not this time.
Not this time. It's just something else.
It's just you saying the word steer instead of stare.
I know. I just kind of noticed it now when you guys pointed it out.
But yeah.
I definitely do notice it now.
You're my boy, Blue. You're my boy. You can hang as we discuss this next thing, which is the Ravens O-line has a new player named Ben Cleveland. Do you know this guy, Danny?
Not intimately familiar, but I've seen some Ben Cleveland meme type things. Yeah.
So Ben Cleveland of the Baltimore Ravens, they call him, his nickname is Big Country. And by the way, this guy looks exactly like what this story is about.
Okay.
Is about him. So the Ravens, is the ESPN.com, drafted this guard, and the big story about him the last couple of weeks has been apparently, and I think the story got a little out of whack and over-talked about, and maybe there's some hyperbole here, but like he almost solely only eats squirrels. Like that's his diet, basically, mm-hmm. Squirrels. Okay? So, again, his nickname is Big Country. And if you're wondering, who on earth could only eat squirrels? you would picture this guy. If you pictured a guy that just ate squirrels.
Irresponsible beard, haircut that doesn't make any sense, totally. 400 pounds.
Looks like he just got out of Waffle House or something like that. Like,
and is also on his way to Waffle House.
he got out of Waffle House and then on his way to Cracker Barrel. And he's going to like sit in the little rocking chair for a second. It's going to make some noise. And then he's going to go in a little gift shop and just beeline it for like some more French toast and squeals or something like that. So anyway, he admits that, yes, he's a huge squirrel mark and he eats squirrels all the time.
Wow.
While also saying people have overrated this a little bit, that it's more so one of those things where you eat what you got in the freezer from the fall. Third round pick out of Georgia said, you get a little hungry, ain't got no deer meat left, fry up a squirrel or two and go eat that. That's the quote.
Do you?
Cleveland's love. This is my favorite paragraph from this story.
Okay.
And I don't think this story is meant to be hilarious, by the way. Cleveland's love for devouring squirrels began when he stayed home sick from school one day. And all he could find in the house to eat was biscuits. So he opened up the living room window and shot two squirrels for lunch.
Now, I've been at the tail end of the grocery cycle as well. Oh, what do we have? A couple leftovers. There's a tin of Ritz crackers. It's never occurred to me, you know what I should probably do, is murder a couple squirrels with my firearm and bake them up.
Dude, this is an ESPN story. Like a news story.
Crazy.
By the way, what's wrong with two biscuits? They're like
delicious.
He had a reasonable amount to eat for lunch, so he decided he's going to open up the window and shoot two squirrels as well. They said he had two biscuits. Like, you wake up, you dream of eating two biscuits.
A little jelly, maybe some butter.
Unbelievable. His love for devouring squirrels began because he stayed home sick from school one day, probably mm-hmm. because he eats too many squirrels.
Yep.
That's one way to keep getting
chicken
sick.
Chicken or the egg
It's weird, Mom. My stomach's been a mess for a month. So he opened up the living room window and shot two squirrels for lunch. He told the Ravens website earlier this week that it's difficult to describe the taste of squirrels. Some squirrels in South Georgia, they'll taste a little bit more nutty, Cleveland said. Up here, our acorns and stuff aren't really as strong as the ones down south. Most of them up here, it just tastes like squirrel. If you put enough seasoning on it, you can make it taste like anything you want it to taste like. This guy's a squirrel expert. Have you ever eaten squirrel?
Never once, and I'll be comfortable never having had squirrel.
Is it a lock that you'll never try squirrel?
I would say it's a lock.
If someone made it and said, "Hey, try this squirrel," would you eat it?
No, I mean I've done a couple exotic things. Like I've had some gator on a few different occasions. We actually did it in New Orleans. Our buddy Christian hooked us at Giacomo's. They had that gator cheesecake appetizer, which was a 10 out of 10. I've done that a couple times. So a few exotic things. I guess if it was like some sort of it's customary that you're here and you can't, you know, you can't be rude. You can sample a little bit of like a squirrel on a stick or something, but just we could do so much better than that, can't we? Do we really have to eat this furry rodent with a disgusting tail?
It sounds like this guy used to do better than that. He has a quote here where he says, "Heck, I can remember." I imagine him sounding like that. Like say, "Heck.
Heck.
I can remember," but maybe he's like, "I can remember." Back in high school on Tuesday nights after practice, we'd have Little Caesar's pizzas. I would sit down and eat two whole pizzas before I went to bed. What a thing. What a guy. What's the weirdest thing you've eaten other than steroids?
The weirdest thing that I've eaten is probably, well, I was that kid who used to like eat bugs off the ground and stuff like that. Like I was a weird kid growing up where like I would just pick up like a caterpillar and just like eat it or whatever. Like, I mean, that's like what a kid's thing would do. Like, you know, they're just.
Would they?
I've never like, done that.
Ones that end up in prison for multiple homicides?
I mean, like, I was just like a 5-year-old and just pick up stuff and put it in my mouth. Like, I mean, look at me.
Like a gypsy moth caterpillar? You're like, it's almost time to eat.
But you would do it because you got challenged or like someone said,
yeah, exactly.
Give you a buck.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or would you just be walking along and just see one?
Like, with no witnesses, you're like, I should probably eat this.
He looks over his left shoulder, looks over his right shoulder, no one in sight, and he just eats a caterpillar.
I mean, yeah. Like, at the time I was doing that, I was probably, like, 5 years old. So, I mean, it could have been cicadas at that point. I'm 21 right now. So,
have you ever eaten a bug with no one around to see you do it? Just because you could?
When I was a kid, maybe. I can't remember off the top of my head. I was a weird kid, man. I really was. I'm telling you that.
If you're eating bugs.
I would say. That qualifies.
I think the weirdest thing I've eaten was probably on a New Orleans trip.
You ate rabbit?
Was rabbit.
Yeah.
That was the time.
I do have friends that did eat squirrels, though. They're from Missouri, and they're out in, like, farm country in Missouri. And
I think it's a thing.
It is a thing, yeah, and they love it. They've always tried me to try it, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. It's not like they're cute. or a house pet or anything like that. It's the I feel like that's gross thing.
Yeah,
I can't get past.
It's a slightly furrier rat. Let's all calm down.
Some guy wants to know how we've never eaten squirrel. I can tell you very easily.
Oh, so easily.
Tommy's in Stafford. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Grant. You are from King George. How have you never eaten squirrel?
I don't know where you think King George is, my guy, but we don't eat squirrel in King George.
Oh, yes, you do.
No chance.
There's a town fair around it.
We do not do that. Tommy, have you eaten squirrel?
Yes, and we border King George, and King George has nothing but squirrel and deer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will confirm that there are squirrels in King George, and there are also deer there. People eat a lot of deer, and they shoot a lot of deer in King George. I've heard of maybe one person in my entire childhood that ate squirrel, and that was a dude that lived, like, across the street from us, and it was the weirdest thing ever. That's the guy in King George that I've ever heard did it. And I got some other stories about that guy that are pretty
entertaining. Sure, right?
Oh, but I won't tell you those right
don't
now.
Don't go to his house on Halloween, one of those kind of guys.
That's pretty much the guy. That's the guy. I wasn't allowed to be near that guy without my parents around. Let's go to Joshua in Upper Marlboro. What's up, Josh?
Hey, fellas. You guys are missing the caterpillar for the squirrel and the way that people miss the forest for the trees. My man just said when he was a kid, he stopped and picked up caterpillars and ate them, like, and you guys breeze past that. That so much weirder than any squirrel that has ever been eaten. Like, can we get into that a little bit? Like, why were you eating caterpillars?
The only reason I brushed past that, Josh, honestly, is I was like, oh no, he's just hanging out with us in studio. I didn't want
we've already hammered him about steroids.
Caterpillars. This is the beginning of something between steroids and, like, eating caterpillars. This might be, like, the weirdest thing that's ever happened on this show, and we need to get into this
a little investigating. All right.
Thank you, Josh.
Defend yourself on eating caterpillars, because that is insane.
I mean, like, I was just that kid. I should have put a little more context into it when I said that. I wasn't just walking around, like, looking for caterpillars to pick up off the ground and shove down the gullet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was just like when my friends would be like, hey, eat that for a dollar. Eat that for whatever. Who knows? Maybe a girl was around. They're like, hey, eat that.
No better way to impress a girl than eat a caterpillar.
That's right. Nobody wants to make out with anybody more.
I was like, five.
Maybe a girl was around. Yeah. You know what? I don't know a lot about impressing girls. Don't eat any bugs. They don't normally go for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that advice. I will take that from here on out.
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
I love that. So because you did make it sound.
Coming up, but maybe you could do that. You could just line up a bunch of bugs. Eat them, and that could be a good start to the date, and then she's going to be just fawning over you the rest of the night.
But I will say, though, initially, he did make it sound like, oh, look at that, a bug, and then just and he would eat it.
A little
but
you're
just like, I was that kid who just did that. Like, that I don't know that kid. That kid's not around.
Right. I should have put more context into it.
Makes sense
now. I seem like the crazy kid.
Well, meaning you took a dare. Like, I get that.
Exactly, yeah. I was a daring kid. That's what I would say.
I like where we ended.
Yeah, very different than
daring kid.
Ooh, look.
Go back and listen to the audio. It didn't sound like that at first.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you got dared and you weren't just walking around making sure no one was
watching. Steroid rage and you started eating caterpillars.
he liked to inject caterpillars with steroids and then he would eat them. We got to get to Matt Moore next. Talk about the Wiz who have two games left on Grant and Dana. Weekend gets started tonight for the Wizards. They play two more games. They could be the 8 seed, may end up being the 10 seed, and they may have to scratch and claw their way into the playoffs. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan on the BetQL guest hotline right now. Matt Moore, one of our favorite NBA guests. Check him out. Action Network joins us right now to talk about the Wiz. And Matt, we wanted to get you on and give you a little credit because we had you on when they were bad, and you were basically saying to us, they're going to turn this around. I actually think they're kind of good, and they've certainly been that of late. How you been?
Been good, man. Enjoying this playoff run. It's crazy. The play-in tournament and all the seedings are making everything real intense. It's going to be a wild final 3 days of the regular season.
Yeah, we're thrilled about it in town. Starts tonight for the Wiz against the Cavs, and then they've got the Hornets on Sunday. How do you see things shaking out for the Wizards?
You know, a lot of it's going to come down to tiebreakers. I think the Pacers are really inconsistent. That's one of them. The Hornets have tiebreaker, I believe, so that's going to make it difficult for them to jump up. I kind of expect the Wizards to finish in that 8-9 or that 9-10 matchup in the play-in. And then from there, I think they've got a chance. I think Boston is imploding. Like, they are – like, that is a team that looks like they are done. And so if they lose the first play-in tournament game, or even if the Hornets were to be the second opponent, I think that's winnable. So I think Washington has a really good chance of sneaking into a postseason run and then, you know, being able to build some momentum going into next season, hopefully with a healthier and more complete roster.
Who needs to be their third banana in whatever you want to call this, postseason, play-in tournament, last couple games, et cetera? Westbrook and Beal are as good as any backcourt in the sport, as good as any tandem you're going to find. Who's going to be their third guy and who needs to be?
I mean, I think it's got to be Bertans. I just think you need the shooting. Like, he needs to get back to where he was 2 seasons ago when he was able to just rip off those three-point shots. You know, in the playoffs a lot of times, and even in these play-in in games where teams are really keying in on the scouting report more, teams will load up to stop whatever your primary options are a lot more than they do throughout the course of the regular season. But that does mean that they got to leave you open. And so your shooters are going to have to fill in there. To me, I just think that Bertans, like, this is why you paid him. Like, this is why he's still on the team, is you need more from him. He's not going to make an impact defensively, obviously, but he can still get high. And if he, you know, is able to hit a bunch of threes, that's the kind of performance that can tilt a playoff game or a play-in game in your favor.
At Matt Moore, TAN, the Action Network, with us on Grant and Danny. Matt, I want to know about Russell Westbrook's chances to crack an All-NBA team. Handicap that for me.
Oh, let's see. I don't think that they're good. I mean, I think you got to look at, Steph, obviously. Harden's probably going to be on that list above him, I would think, based off of how Harden played, even in a limited number of games. You got Dame. You got Luka is probably going to go in as a guard. I think it's possible. I think a lot of voters are – I think that Westbrook has gained a lot of respect this season. He already had a lot of respect, but if the kind of dips over the last few years have cost him a little bit, I think he regained it this season, not only with passing Oscar, but just with how much he's brought them night after night and pulling this team up from the bottom alongside Beal. I think that's gained him a lot of respect with the voters. I think all NBA is going to be real razor thin, but I wouldn't expect him to get in, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Matt Moore, the Action Network, with us, breaking down some Wiz. How do they take the next step next year? So if this was the group all season long, I don't know that, you know, they're playing 13-3 pace throughout the year, Matt, but they wouldn't be fighting for the 9 or 10 seed at this point. They'd have been better. But how do they get to the next step where they're an honest-to-goodness contender? They're kind of stuck to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just think that you need guys to make real big leaps. Like, this roster is really incomplete. Now, I will say, like, Thomas Bryant, I think, changes a lot of this. Like that injury continues to be overlooked in terms of what he was supposed to bring to the table and how he started the season. Like, that was a massive injury that cost them. You want to get, I think there's the possibility there with, you know, if Rui makes a leap and Denny makes a leap, they can get themselves into, all right, they're like the fourth best team in the East. You know, they could be dangerous in a 3-6. Like, maybe they make a run and upset a better seed and make a semifinals or even Eastern Conference Finals. But I don't think you can really consider them a contender. I honestly don't know how to pull that off, because you need so many, I think, different components and identities. They've been great offensively this season. They should have been better defensively. A lot of the metrics say that they should be better defensively. They've been good over this stretch. But that's a starting block to me. Like, there's got to be less shot hunting and more of a commitment to playing, you know, basketball that's balanced on both ends, because you need to be able to – if you can get stops – you have the firepower to win, but you do not have enough firepower to beat everybody in a shootout. That, to me, I think has to be the next step.
Who should coach the Wizards next year, and who will coach the Wizards next year?
Oh, good question. If they make it into the playoffs, I don't see how you get rid of Scott Brooks. Like, I just don't see how you can, you know, justify it. That those decisions have been made before, not in Washington. Like, that's not the MO, right? His ownership doesn't pull the plug on coaches until they're absolutely sure it's not the guy. So I would expect for Scott Brooks to return, because I think they will make it into the playoffs, or at least be very, very close. You know, you go into a next season. I think it's also hard to judge guys off of this season. Like, there's been, especially the Wizards, I mean, all of the COVID stuff, all of the injuries, all of the scheduled, you know, nonsense and misery. This is a really difficult season for any executive to really be able to judge things and talk to the executives. That's the sense I've gotten, is just like, what do you make of this season? Because it's such a mess. So I expect Scott Brooks to be back, and I think if he gets him into the playoffs, he deserves to be back.
To clarify on playoffs, you mean beyond the play-in tournament, yes?
Yes, if he makes it into the playoffs. I think if you're in the play-in tournament, it's like, that's the postseason, but not
right,
the playoffs.
Right.
And so I think, yeah, I think it's hard. I would find it hard to be like, but they made the play-in tournament. Okay, you finished 10th. Like, all right. Like, good job for finishing 10th. But, you know, I think the bars have to be a little bit higher.
And then specific to bringing him back, and we've talked about the difference, right? It's not like he's got a year left on his deal and you just retain him. I mean, his contract is up, so you'd have to give him a new deal. Would you give him like a 1-year deal if he's willing to sign it? Would you give him, you know, a big deal to be the guy here to kind of get you to the championship? I feel like that would be aggressive based on his 5 years and the lack of success. How would you handle that?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I don't have a really great feel for how to answer like that big issue. I think the big thing here is, you know, he's got a good relationship with Russ. Do you want Russ to be a part going forward? Like, are you looking at this and being like, no, like, this is, we like the Beal-Westbrook combo and we want to build around this for the next 2-3 years. Then, you know, maybe you can go for a 2-year deal with a third-year option, or maybe it's a 3-year deal with, you know, non-guaranteed completely in the third year or something. There are options, I think. A 1-year is never going to go because the coach is like, Brooks's experience is probably going to be like, no thanks. They're going to want a full, at least a multi-year contract. If he pushes for something, if it's like a 4 or 5, I would not do that. Like, I would not commit to anything more than, I would be hesitant on more than 2 years. And 3 years, there had better be stipulations in it that help.
Matt, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the end of the season and the start of the playoffs, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Always love talking ball with Matt Moore on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The Washington football team, 2 days after signing a new left tackle, may have just signed someone who's going to start some games in their secondary. Their offseason is not done yet. It's been impressive. We'll tell you who and how the deal came about next on G&D as part of our 5 at 5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.